Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, A Still Small Voice, was written by Erwin Gonshak, based on Chapter 10, The La Spezia Affair, of John and David Kimch's The Secret Roads.
The story of freedom, like the story of bondage, is endless. On Passover, we recall every episode in this endless epic of men going forth from whatever Egypt in which they found themselves to heed the call of the promised land. This story begins in a small port on the northeastern coast of Italy in April of 1946. The war in Europe had ended the year before, and Hitler's minions no longer terrorized the continent. But the Nazi legacy still remained, wreckage and ruins, and the uprooted and homeless seeking a haven.
Zebulun, Zebulun, our methods are too slow. A handful this week, a handful next. No, it is not right.
Remember, Arazzi, we faced the might of the British Empire. What can we do? But the handfuls add up.
I'm sick at heart. 6 million slaughtered. A pitiful remnant remains. Why don't the nations of the world, humanity, put them on a magic carpet and carry them to the homeland? Instead, they put the refugees behind barbed wire. What's wrong with the world? Have we become so hardened to human misery?
Arazzi, what good does it do to discuss it? Can we change historical circumstances? The oil in the Middle East? Big power politics? The prestige of empires? The business-as-usual attitude after a war? All I know is that the Mossad has assigned us the job of moving the refugees in. And we are doing this as best we can.
Do you think sending small ships to lonely spots where there are no port facilities, where we load a few refugees like thieves in the night, is the best that can be done?
But at least the British do not see. And we get that small number into Palestine, which is better than nothing.
Our people have waited too long, suffered too long. Hitler took everything from them except a last spark of hope. And now, unless we save them quickly, rotting in camp will extinguish this spark forever. Zebulun, we must speed their progress to Palestine, or soon it will be too late.
See. So, you seek a license to use the facilities of La Spezia for your ship, the Fede. And for what purpose will the ship use the port, Signor Arazzi?
To load a cargo of salt.
Salt?
Yes, Commissionario. I wish to carry this cargo from the port of La Spezia to the island of Sardinia.
Salt? Certainly the enemies of occupation would not object to such a voyage. Permission granted. I will sign your papers.
Grazie, Commissionario. It has been a pleasure to deal with you.
Excuse me, but you are sure, Signor Arazzi, that this cargo of salt will not walk onto the ship by itself.
Arrangements are complete, Zebulun. The ship and Captain Rabinowitz are at La Spezia preparing for the voyage. We have borrowed 20 trucks from a British Palestine unit in Italy. And on April 4th, we shall secretly load up 1,000 refugees from the camps and have them on the way to the land of Israel that very night.
I am worried, Arazzi. The operation is too large, too open. If something goes wrong, we lose everything.
My friend, the odds are not bad. Anyway, we have the sympathy of the Italians. They have no great love for the British occupation forces.
Yes, what you say is true. But remember, Arazzi, the Italians lost the war.
See? Everything is working perfectly. The trucks, the passengers, the ship.
You spoke too soon, Orazzi. Look ahead. A roadblock. What do we do? Ram through and run for...
No. No, slow down. We'll see what it is.
As the trucks slowly came to a standstill, the square of La Spezia became alive with Italian soldiers and police. The authorities had hastily brought up reinforcements, and hundreds of soldiers surrounded the convoy with their human cargo.
Un momento, per piacere.
Signore, we wish to inspect the trucks, please.
Capitano, this is a British convoy with a group of refugees headed for La Spezia.
Signore, we have reason to believe that a fascist remnant is planning to smuggle a boatload of Polish fascists from La Spezia to Franco, Spain. We think the ship Fede may be involved in this plot.
Capitano, call us anything, but I assure you, fascists we are not.
But your passengers will not be permitted to board until this matter is cleared up.
I admit we are not on official business for the British Army, but Capitano, the refugees are legitimate, and they have only one destination. Palestine. Capitano, you must understand this.
Mi dispiace, signore. I have my orders. But what proof have you got?
Please, Capitano. Please, come to the trucks with me. I will show you my proof.
Allora, andiamo.
Look. Look at their faces, Capitano. They tell what they have seen. Proof, Capitano. Look at their eyes.
Ma signore, what can I say? These fascisti we are looking for...
Capitano! Look, on their arms.
Si, their arms. Ah, peccato, peccato. I see. Branded like cattle. Signore, I will tell my men to leave. Your trucks and your passengers may proceed.
Grazie, Capitano. Grazie. Prego. Zebulon, take our brothers aboard. Tell Captain Rabinowitz to make preparations to move out. Children of Israel, we leave immediately for the promised land.
It is too late, Orazzi. Look in the harbor. The British Royal Navy. And there, way down the road, the British Royal Tank Corps. We are licked, Orazzi.
No, Zebulon, not yet. Quickly, get everyone aboard. Again, Major Hill. Again and again. And then you will be heard.
Ratzi, are you going deaf? We can hear him.
Yes, Abulon. But I tell you, others must hear him too.
This is Major Hill. My orders are, and they state, all refugees must leave the ship and return to the camp. Do you people hear what I'm saying?
We do, Major Hill. With every fiber of our bodies and ours.
Nazi, this is no time for reveries. Do you know what this means? An illegal transport caught red-handed in a European port. This is a terrible blow to our cause.
Yes, I know. But I also know that a sour has struck in history. Hitler's bloodbath has brought us to this point in time, and now for our people there is no turning back. The refugees understand this, but so far the world does not.
This is Major Hill. All refugees must leave the ship immediately. We don't want to use force, but you must understand our orders.
Well, Orazzi, what do we do now?
Everyone has orders. We too have orders, Major Hill.
My soldiers are standing by. They will board the ship if you do not depart now. We would rather not have it, eh? But you leave us no alternative. We are waiting.
Major Hill! My name is Orazzi. I speak for the immigrants. Please give us some time to discuss your proposal, and then we will give you an answer.
Orazzi, this is Major Hill. I am waiting for your answer.
Yes, Major Hill. I have spoken to my people, and they have an answer for you.
Orazzi, I must remind you, my orders call for the refugees to return to the camps.
Major Hill, your orders fail to take into account one important fact. You are dealing with desperate people. Your words have no meaning for them. My people have only one wish, to reach Palestine. They will not hear of returning to European soil.
Arazi, I am a soldier, not a politician. Have your people leave the ship peacefully, and then let higher authorities work this matter out. Arazi, my soldiers are waiting.
Major Hill, I understand your position, but you must also understand ours. The moment the first British soldier lays a hand on a refugee for the purpose of forcing him back to the European mainland, the ship will be blown up, together with the immigrants and soldiers. That, Major Hill, is our answer.
Major Hill, do you think they're bluffing?
Sergeant, I walk through Bergen-Belsen, Auschwitz. No, these people are not bluffing. Sergeant, see that the port area is sealed off. Bring the tanks onto the quay and report to the warship that I request that they anchor alongside the Fede.
Right, sir.
Then we will wait for further developments.
Zebulon, you look as if all were lost. Go down again into the hold and see the faces of our fellow passengers. You will gain new strength.
But do they know the hopelessness of our situation?
That's all they've known for a generation. But still, the spark remains. And with that spark, we will try to arouse the world.
The world sleeps.
Then we will tell them it is time to wake up.
Who will listen? At least before, we got a few in, but now...
Zebulon, I've written a letter to Prime Minister Attlee, President Truman, and the world press.
For at least a few waded ashore safely.
This will be sent by wireless. Gentlemen, an unbelievable situation has developed in the Italian port of La Spezia, where an old ship, packed from stern to bow with more than 1,000 defenseless refugees, yearning only to return to the promised land, has been surrounded by tanks, infantry, and warships of the Royal Navy. As spokesman for these people, I respectfully urge that you come.
Meanwhile, the curiosity of the inhabitants of Spezia had been aroused by the drama enacted in their port. Thousands of Italians daily crowded round the barred port gates to view the curious spectacle. The Italians were overjoyed at the sight of the underdog annoying the British. And so for days, the situation continued. The refugees on their rotting hulk anchored in La Spezia. The British making no move to interfere in the port, contenting themselves with keeping the area bottled up, waiting for the immigrants to call it quits and return to the camp.
Superior. We will allow you to transfer the immigrants to a convalescent camp in Italy, where they will await the granting of legal certificates at some future date.
Arazzi, remember the message from the Jewish agency in Jerusalem. Avoid increasing the tension with the British.
Zebulon, do you think we can march our people up the gangplank of a ship taking them to Palestine and then march them down the gangplank and return them to the camp? This would destroy them completely. There would be nothing left to say.
Major Hill, do you hear me?
Yes, Sir Razzi.
Tell your superiors, Major Hill, we have only one answer. Let my people go!
Monsieur Razzi, is it not true that your immigrants do not have a legal immigration certificate?
No, my friends of the press, this is not true. Here are my documents. I stand on my legal and moral rights to bring the refugees to Palestine.
Monsieur, exactly what kind of documents do you have in your hand?
They were printed on the official printing press of the Vatican by friends of my people. See what it says. This person has been found qualified for repatriation by representatives of the Yishuv, the Jewish community in Palestine. For authority for repatriation, the certificate quotes from the British Balfour Declaration, the League of Nations mandate, and most important of all, Genesis and Isaiah. With great mercy, I shall gather you up.
During the third week of the impasse, new and spirited activity was noted on the Fede. Meetings were held by the refugees. Speeches, songs, and prayers were heard. Arazi reported the results of this activity to the British.
Major Hill, do you hear me?
Yes.
My people cannot be patient any longer. They have decided to bring their case in a forceful manner before the bar of world opinion. Starting today, 1,000 refugees have declared a hunger strike. Major Hill, they will fast until they drop, or until they are released.
A new tension took hold of the people of La Spezia. Crowds gathered round the port gates where a board had been hung. It had two numbers on it, the number of hours of the strike and the number of refugees unconscious because of lack of food. As the two figures steadily mounted, the crowds outside the port grew and swelled into a threatening demonstration, which the British tanks with difficulty held in check. Strikes flared up in the city, and in nearby Genoa, the port workers downed tools in sympathy.
Monsieur Arazi, there is not a sound that we can hear from the fasting refugees. No moans, no cries.
It is too much of an effort for them to cry out. You people of the press must take their cries to the world.
Is there any danger of loss of life?
Because of their previously weak condition, yes. But still they refuse to break the hunger strike.
Signor Arazi, what will you do next?
We can do nothing but wait and pray. It's up to the British authorities to make the next move. I've sent a cable to Attlee. He has the power to let the ship go. I told him that the lives of the refugees are now in his hands.
By now, the refugees had gained the general sympathy of the Italians in their stand against the British. Cables of sympathy and of encouragement poured in. Messages from the Italian Premier De Gasperi, from the Admiral of the Italian fleet, from the Minister of Shipping. Then, at the 75th hour of the strike, a British embassy car drew up outside the gates. Out stepped Harold Lasky, chairman of the British Labour Party. Lasky had been on his way to Florence with a delegation to the Italian Socialist Congress when the aging leader of the Italian Jewish community, Raphael Contini, interceded with him and told him of the plight of the refugees in La Spezia.
Arazi, I plead with you. Be reasonable. Stop the hunger strike. Persuade the immigrants to return to the camps and wait for immigration certificates. I promise you they will get priority.
Mr. Lasky, it is no use to speak to the refugees about returning to the camps. They have been pursued too long, a nightmare without end. But always one hope, one dream urged them on. The thought that somewhere in the East was a country where they would be welcomed and given a chance to build a new life among their own people. For them, better starvation than Europe. Better death itself than return to the hated camp.
Arazi, you know the political situation in the Middle East. Either way we move, we make enemies. But remember, it was the British who first supported a Jewish homeland, who stood alone against Hitler's legion.
Yes, Mr. Lasky, we know this. And that is why we believe the British will listen to the pleas of the refugees and let the ship go. A Hitler or a Stalin would have destroyed us by
Arazi,
now.
Arazi, do this for me. Have the refugees call a halt to the hunger strike while I return to London to talk to the government.
Yes, they will agree to that. But I must tell you that the refugees have decided to take the final drastic step. To make your government see the justice in their cause. Rather than be forced back to the European mainland, which to them is akin to a death sentence, they will willingly take their lives themselves.
I see.
Mr. Lasky, tell your government that my people will wait 5 days. And then, if they are still barred from entering Palestine, 10 refugees will commit suicide in public on the deck every day until only a coffin ship of bodies will be left in Spezia port. Then the British can dispose of the refugees as they wish.
Thank you.
Arazzi, the first 10 have volunteered. They have prepared.
Lord, you must save them. You must make the world listen.
There is a cable from Lasky. He needs more time. He appeals to the refugees not to take any drastic action.
Who can stop them now? The refugees know they are no longer fighting only for themselves. Now they represent all those still in the camps, barred from the homeland. Zebulun, at times like this, men become bigger than themselves. We must pray.
Arazzi, the British government has now agreed to allocate 679 certificates from the monthly allotment to the Fede, and the rest will be provided for at some future date.
A stony silence greeted the offer. A meeting was called to discuss the latest proposal. The meeting was brief, and the answer was quickly given.
Major Hill?
Yes?
The time for half measures has long since passed. Hitler has seen to that. Tell your government, Major Hill, that my people bear no malice towards the British, and that my people want to live. But they stand by their original demand. The whole transport must leave together.
The deadline was at hand. Lips moved and prayers were said, but not a sound was heard. The refugee ship remained silent.
Look, Arazzi! The British ship! It is leaving! Arazzi! The tanks! They are going!
Yes, Zebulun. The winter is past.
Major Hill speaking. I have received final word from my superiors. The ship can sail for Palestine. We're all on board. One more thing, Arazzi.
Yes, Major Hill.
Good luck to your people.
The next day, the old creaking ship with its cargo of immigrants slowly steamed out of Spezia Harbor to the strains of the town band and the cheers of thousands of Italians who lined the quay to wish Godspeed to their former guests.
Arazzi, what do you think finally made the British let us go?
There's a story I remember from the Bible. The prophet Elijah looking for the Lord. He heard a voice say, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And there was the Lord. Perhaps my friend, the British, stopped there, going and coming for a moment, and listened. And heard.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Herbert A. Friedman, Executive Vice Chairman of the United Jewish Appeal. Rabbi Friedman.
I'm delighted to have the opportunity to say a few words following the stirring drama we've just heard. The period it described means a great deal to me. I was in Germany at that historic time as a chaplain with the United States Armed Forces and as an advisor on Jewish affairs for the American Army of Occupation. I worked for 2 years on behalf of the displaced persons to help them until the time when they could leave for the new life for which they longed so much. Imagine the scene as it was then in newly liberated Europe, in Germany, Austria, Italy. 250,000 despairing men and women waited in the Jewish displaced persons camps, mainly those camps established by the United States Army. They had flooded into those DP camps because the American flag spelled hope. What were they waiting for? For the world to give them a chance to escape a terrible and horrifying past. To give them a chance to go to a place where they could be permanently free. To America, to other Western lands, above all, to Palestine. During the long wait, great American organizations affiliated with the United Jewish Appeal came to help. They came to heal, to save, to preserve life. And today, 15 years after that DP era, it can truly be said that they did a remarkable job. In Israel, 1 million immigrants, including hundreds of thousands of those wartime DPs, have now been started on the road to a new life. Another 250,000 people have been able to begin life again in America, Canada, and other free lands. It is fitting at this season of Passover, the festival that marks a great birth of freedom more than 3,000 years ago, that we should recall something of the exodus to freedom of our own generation. And it's equally fitting that we should remember that the work which American Jews undertook 15 years ago to save the surviving remnant is still unfinished. This enterprise of ours must go on with its life-saving, life-building work while there is anyone, anywhere in the world, who needs our help.
Thank you, Rabbi Friedman. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Still Small Voice, was written by Erwin Gonchak, based on Chapter 10, The La Spezia Affair, of John and David Kimch's The Secret Roads, published by Farrar, Straus, and Cuddy. Carl Weber was featured as Arazi, Santos Ortega was Zebulon, others in the cast were Ralph Camargo, Rock Rogers, Ronald Dawson, Guy Repp, and Mercer McLeod. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The narrator, Roger DeCoven. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.